ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नश्य प्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिकी। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 12 चैप्टर 6 महाराज परीक्षित पासेस अवे। टेक्स्ट 13।
ब्रह्मा
भूतस्य
राजा
ऋषेः देहः अहि गरल अग्निना बभूव भस्म भस्मसा सद्यः पश्यता सर्व देहिना। ब्रह्मभूतस्य राजर्षे देहो हि करलाग्निना बभूव भस्मसात् सद्यः पश्यतां सर्वदेहिना। ब्रह्मभूतस्य राजर्षे देहो हि करलाग्निना बभूव भस्मसात् सद्यः पश्यतां सर्वदेहिना। ब्रह्मभूतस्य राजर्षे देहो हि करलाग्निना बभूव भस्मसात् सद्यः पश्यतां सर्वदेहिना। ब्रह्मभूतस्य after fully self-realized Raj Rishehe, the saint among kings, Dehaha, the body, Ahi, of the snake, Garala, from the poison, Agnina, by the fire, Babhuva turned Bhasmasat to ashes. Sadhyaha immediately. Pashyatam while they were watching. Sarvadehinam all embodied living beings. Translation. While living beings all over the universe looked on, the body of the great self-realized saint among kings was immediately burned to ashes by the fire of the snake's poison. Now I'll read the verses after this, just the translation, till we come to the end of this episode. This passage. text 14 onwards. There arose a terrible cry of lamentation in all directions, on the earth and in the heavens. And all the demigods, demons, human beings, and other creatures were astonished. Kettle drums sounded in the regions of the demigods, and the celestial Gandharvas and Apsaras sang. The demigods showered flowers and spoke words of praise. Purport. Although lamenting at first, all learned persons, including the demigods, soon realized that a great soul had gone back home, back to Godhead. This was certainly a cause for celebration. Text 16. Hearing that his father had been fatally bitten by the snake bird, Maharaj Janmejaya became extremely angry and had Brahmanas perform a mighty sacrifice in which he offered all the snakes in the world into the sacrificial fire. When Takshaka saw even the most powerful serpents being burned in the blazing fire of that snake sacrifice, he was overwhelmed with fear and approached Lord Indra for shelter. When King Janamejaya did not see Takshaka entering his sacrificial fire, he said to the Brahmanas, "Why is not Takshaka, the lowest of all serpents, burning in this fire?" The Brahmanas replied, "O best of kings, the snake Takshaka has not fallen into the fire because he is being protected by Indra, whom he has approached for shelter. Indra is holding him back from the fire." The intelligent King Janamejaya, hearing these words, replied to the priests, "Then, my dear Brahmanas, why not make Takshaka fall into the fire along with his protector Indra?" Hearing this, the priests then chanted this mantra for offering Takshaka together with Indra as an oblation into the sacrificial fire. "O Takshaka, fall immediately into this fire together with Indra and his entire host of demigods." When Lord Indra, along with his airplane and Takshaka, was suddenly thrown from his position by these insulting words of the Brahmanas, he became very disturbed. Brihaspati, the son of Angira Muni, seeing Indra falling from the sky in his airplane along with Takshaka, approached King Janamejaya and spoke to him as follows. "O king among men, it is not fitting that this king of snakes meet death at your hands, for he has drunk the nectar of the immortal demigods. Consequently, he is not subject to the ordinary symptoms of old age and death. The life and death of an embodied soul and his destination in the next life are all caused by himself through his own activity. Therefore, O King, no other agent is actually responsible for creating one's happiness and distress." Purport. Although King Parikshit apparently died by the bite of Takshaka, it was Lord Krishna himself who brought back the king, to the kingdom of God. Brihaspati wanted young King Janamejaya to see things from the spiritual point of view. Translation again. When a conditioned soul is killed by snakes, thieves, fire, lightning, hunger, disease, or anything else, he is experiencing the reaction to his own past work. Purport. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, King Parikshit obviously was not suffering the reaction of past karma. As a great devotee, he was personally brought back home, back to Godhead, by the Lord. Translation again. Therefore, my dear king, please stop this sacrificial performance, which was initiated with the intent of doing harm to others. Many innocent snakes have already been burned to death. Indeed, all persons must suffer the unforeseen consequences of their past activities. Purport. Brihaspati here admits that although the snakes appear to be innocent, by the Lord's arrangement they were also being punished for previous vicious activities. Final verse translation. Suta Goswami continued, this is text 28. Advised in this manner, Maharaj Janmejaya replied, "So be it." Honoring the words of the great sage, he desisted from performing the snake sacrifice and worshipped Brihaspati, the most eloquent of sages. Sri Chaitanya Manovishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutanesvaram Lokanandanam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yudhapadakamalam Sri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sahajatam Sahagana Raghunathanam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadvaitam Vaisana Satatam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Raghunathanam Sri Vishakhandanamscha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Krishthaya Bhutale Sri Namo Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Nityane Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Vicharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschakriya Shatavane Vanchakarta Tarukyascha Prakasim Vipravicha Vitanam Pavane Vyavashka Vyavashka Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Vedadha Shivasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna. And thus comes to an end a glorious life, a life lived completely in the service of Krishna, a life ended perfectly, and the beginning of King Parikshit's sojourn in the spiritual world. And now is the time for some storytelling, because this wonderful narration here that has been very briefly described in the Srimad Bhagavatam is elaborately described in the Mahabharata. So I'll be mixing up the narration of the Mahabharata and the Srimad Bhagavatam for the duration of this class, for these concluding pastimes in the life of Maharaj Parikshit, and also later on as far as the activities of Maharaj Janmejaya are concerned. Now, some of you might remember that a couple of classes ago I had talked about the burning of the Khandava forest by Arjuna, by Agni. And Arjuna and Krishna had protected Agnidev. When Indra had tried to disrupt this burning, Krishna and Arjuna were moving all around the Khandava forest, and they ensured that Indra's shower of rain would not disrupt the burning of the forest. And simultaneously also, Arjuna was shooting his arrows to ensure that none of the sinful living entities who were within the forest could escape. They would either be burnt by the fire, or as they tried to escape, they were killed by the arrows of Arjuna. And because they died in front of Lord Krishna, having his darshan, they all actually attained spiritual bodies. So in the Lord's pastimes, nobody is actually harmed. Everyone benefits. Even if one is killed, or one may be the object of love of the Lord. Even the Lord's violence against any living entity is actually a form of the Lord's unlimited mercy upon that living entity. So amongst the living entities who were trying to escape was Takshaka's wife and son. Now, as I mentioned, Takshaka was the king of the Nagas, of the snake bird community. And he lived in two places, in the Khandava forest, which is near present-day Delhi, and also in Kurukshetra. So he lived in both these places. And at the time that the burning of the Khandava forest took place, Takshaka was visiting his other abode in Kurukshetra. But his wife and son were still in the Khandava forest. And as Takshaka's wife and son tried to escape from the blazing fire in the Khandava forest, Arjuna managed to kill Takshaka's wife, but the son, Ashvasena, managed to escape, because at that very moment Indra let loose a certain kind of weapon that knocked Arjuna senseless or unconscious for a few moments. And Ashvasena flew away. There were snakes, but birds also, snake birds. Now, Takshaka was also, of course, saved because he wasn't there. And eventually Brahma came and pacified everyone, because now a huge battle had begun between Indra and demigods on one side and Krishna and Arjuna on the other side. And Brahma had to come and actually settle the situation and say that, Indra, in any case your friend Takshaka is not here, and it's all divinely ordained. So then everything came to an end. Now, Takshaka and his son Ashvasena were really upset with Arjuna and wanted to take revenge. And this is where the story begins now again. So, Ashvasena was biding his time. When the battle of Kurukshetra took place, he emerged from the earth and entered into Karna's quiver as an arrow. You know Karna, who was a great warrior. He was actually the eldest son of Kunti Maharani, but somehow he was separated. So the Pandavas initially did not know that he was their eldest brother, older than even Yudhishthir Maharaj. But he became a friend of Duryodhan, because Duryodhan offered him protection and a kingdom. So this Ashvasena, he entered into the quiver of Karna and became an arrow, a very special arrow. And then during the battle of Kurukshetra, when Karna was fighting against Arjuna, this was one of the arrows that Karna released. And it would have been the cause of Arjuna's death, but for Krishna. Krishna, of course, understood what was going on. He immediately realized that this is Ashvasena, and this snake arrow is going to be fatal for Arjuna. So very quickly, with lightning speed, Krishna pressed his foot hard down on the chariot. So much so that the horses that were leading the chariot, they had to bend down on their knees practically. And because of that, the whole chariot came down a little bit. And therefore, the arrow, instead of hitting Arjuna in the chest, it hit Arjuna's crown. And the crown had been a gift from Indra to Arjuna. And the crown was smashed to pieces, but Arjuna was saved. So in this way, Krishna saved Arjuna from Ashvasena's revenge. So anyway, Ashvasena went away, but he and his father Takshak were still smarting with the anger that Arjuna had tried to, you know, the havoc that Arjuna had tried to wreak upon them. They had not forgotten it. And so, as for the curse of Sringi, the young son of Shamik Rishi, Takshaka now had come, and as we saw yesterday, he came there, he bribed the sage Kashyapa so he would leave the place and not use his skills to counteract the snake poison, and then he came up and bit Maharaj Parikshit. And in the first verse that we read today, we see that the poison was so powerful that Parikshit Maharaj's body erupted into flames. So strong was the poison. And right in front of everyone, as all the living entities, Pashyatam Sarvadehina, as all the living entities, not just on earth, but even in the higher planets, looked on, Parikshit Maharaj, his body was destroyed and he departed for the spiritual world. Initially there was a great cry of lamentation everywhere, even the demons and everyone was lamenting. But eventually they realized that Parikshit Maharaj had returned to Godhead, and then there was some cause of jubilation. So the departure of a Vaishnava from this world brings about mixed feelings in devotees. On one hand, the devotees are sorry to lose the association of such a great Vaishnava, so it is a cause of sorrow. And on the other hand, there is also some kind of jubilation or rejoicing, because this devotee has now achieved the perfection of life. This devotee has now gone back to the spiritual world. So in any case, King Parikshit's life was made perfect. And in the meanwhile, as we had mentioned the other day, King Parikshit, before he had renounced his kingdom in pursuance of the curse of the boy sage Shringi, he had installed his son, his eldest son, Janamejaya, on the throne. Janamejaya at that time was only a small boy when Parikshit Maharaj passed away. And incidentally, the passing away of Maharaj Parikshit happened about 60 years after the Battle of Kurukshetra. So the years went by. King Janamejaya became the emperor of the world, and in the course of his conquests, he conquered many places. Now when Takshaka had been sent away from Khandava and Kurukshetra, he took refuge in a place that later came to be known as Takshashila, the place of Takshaka. And later on it became known as Takshila. How many of you have heard Takshila? What have you heard about Takshila? Yeah? It was a famous university. Just like Nalanda and Takshila. Nalanda was in the eastern part of India, and Takshila is actually a corruption of the word Takshashila, and became Takshila, was in the northwest, probably in present day Pakistan. He's quite in the news nowadays. So anyway, this university happened many years later, but Takshaka took refuge there, and that was his kingdom. And in the course of King Janamejaya's conquests, he also happened to conquer Takshashila, and Takshaka had to run away from there. And then he took refuge in another kingdom, the kingdom of the Paushya king. And there he took to the ways of dacoity. He became a robber. And now there's another sub-story that begins here in the Mahabharata. There was a Brahmana young man whose name was Uttanaka. And this Uttanaka had a guru whose name was Veda. And having served his guru for many years in the Gurukul, now he had grown up. He had served his guru faithfully, had been blessed with all kinds of knowledge. And the guru felt he was now ready for going out into the world. So he blessed his disciple and said, "Now you go out into the world." And Uttanaka asked him as to what he could offer as a dakshina, as a small donation, as a token of his appreciation. He said, "I don't need anything, but you can ask my wife." So then Uttanaka went to ask his guru's wife, and she said, well, in a couple of days from now, 4 days from now, we will have a big celebration here. We will be calling many brahmanas for this festival. So I want to possess the earrings that is owned by the queen. There's a special set of earrings. So please get these earrings for me from the queen. So as a faithful disciple, then he went to the king, and the king said, what can I do for you? Because it was a custom that when a brahmana would come, then the king would offer anything in charity. And Uttanaka asked for the earrings of the queen, which the queen gave him happily. There's a whole big pastime there, but we're just concluding the saying the pastime in brief, that he managed to get the earrings. And then he came back, and as he was walking back towards his guru's ashram, he was mugged by Takshaka, who had come as a decoy. So he stole the earrings, and then Uttanaka had to take the help of many others, and eventually he recovered the earrings with great difficulty. So he bore a deep grudge against Takshaka because he had humiliated him in this way, and he was troubling so many others. So now, after somehow the other, in the nick of time, managed to reach his guru's ashram and presented the earrings to his guru's wife, to the Guru Mata. So both the guru and his wife were pleased, and they blessed him. And then Uttanaka went on his way. But he had not forgotten what Takshaka had done. So he went to the court of King Janmejaya. And Janmejaya welcomed him, because he was a brahmana. And then Uttanaka started saying, my dear king, you amaze me. How is it that when your father was killed in such a horrible way, and the killer of your father is still around and happily living and enjoying himself, and you are sitting here on this throne enjoying kingly comforts, how is it that you're enjoying yourself here when the killer of your father is roaming free? And he taunted the king in this way. And King Janmejaya was surprised. He turned to his ministers and counselors and asked, what is this I hear? My father was killed unjustly? I have not heard. I was only a small boy when my father actually died. And then I was placed on the throne. So please tell me, what are the circumstances that led to my father's death? So the ministers explained to him what had happened. And then the king asked Uttanaka. He said, so my dear Brahman, what do you suggest I should do now? Now King Janmejaya was sufficiently, his wrath had been sufficiently invoked. And when a king is angry, then he wants to do something about it. So he asked the Brahmana Uttanaka, what should I do? So Uttanaka said, in the Puranas, there is a description of a certain kind of sacrifice, which is called the Sarpa Satra, a snake sacrifice. And if you do that, then all the vicious snakes in the world will be drawn into this fire, and then they will all be killed. So you must perform this snake sacrifice, and I will also assist you in its performance. You can call the leading brahmanas and have it done, and then you will do justice. So King Janmejaya said, all right. And at that time, Uttanaka also described that I also have a grudge against Takshaka because he did such and such to me. So then King Janmejaya, he discussed with his ministers, the brahmanas were called, and then a mighty yajna, a snake sacrifice was organized on the banks of a river called Arinda. I have heard that this place exists in India even today, in a district called Mainpuri. And there is a place called Parikshit Gadh. And it is a place where Janmejaya actually erected a tank to commemorate the place of the sacrifice. And it is in the bank of a river called Arinda. And it is also said by the local people that the snakes in that region are harmless. And actually that whoever hears about the snake sacrifice of Maharaj Janmeja will be protected from snake bite. So then, just to ensure the security of every one of us here, that should we ever come near a snake, we will be protected from snake bite. So we will also narrate in brief the pastime of the snake sacrifice of King Janmeja. It's mentioned briefly here in the Bhagavatam and a little more elaborately in the Mahabharata. So the snake sacrifice commenced. All the rituals were done properly, the arrangements were made, and just as the sacrificial pit and everything, the hall was set up, someone called Lohitaksha, who was an architect and who was responsible for measurements and designing everything, he came up and he said, "My dear king, by looking at the measurements and by seeing the omens all around, I can deduce that your sacrifice will remain incomplete, and that a Brahmana will come and he will see that your sacrifice does not get completed." So then King Janmeja remembered, many years ago there was an incident. You see, Janmeja had six brothers. Yesterday I mentioned four, actually it is six. And one time his brothers, in sport, they beat a dog that they found somewhere. And the dog ran away. And the mother of the dog, whose name was Sharma, she came and she spoke to King Janmeja. And she said, "Oh king, what was the fault of my puppy? Did he come and lick the sacrificial pit? Did he come and consume the butter that was meant to be offered into the sacrifice? Did he come and pollute the place of the sacrifice?" "He did not." "Then why did your brothers beat my son like this?" And King Janmeja had no answer. He hung his head in shame. Because you see, as far as the Vedic culture is concerned, even the animals are considered to be the praja, or the citizens of the state. Praja, those who are born in the kingdom are citizens. So it's not just the human beings who need protection. Even the animals need protection. So the mother dog, she came and she admonished the king, and the king had to hang his head down in shame and listen to it. Imagine such a scenario happening now. And impossible to even imagine such a thing, even if dogs could speak in this age. So he was trying to explain, it was only done in sport. So in anger, she cursed the king. She said, "Because your brothers have done this, I curse you that the greatest undertaking that you commence will remain incomplete." And Janmeja remembered that curse of the dog that had taken place many years ago. And now it was confirmed by what Lohitaksha, the architect, said. So then he tried to take precautions to ensure that the sacrifice would not be interrupted, but who can avert the will of destiny or providence? So he had guard positioned at various places. And then the yajna commenced, and the chanting of the mantras was going on. And as is described here by Shukadeva Goswami, that as the names of the various vicious snakes were called out, "May so and so fall into the fire," then that particular snake would come in and fall into the fire. Sometimes the snakes were huge in size and sometimes they were very small, but they would all be drawn there irresistibly by the power of the mantras, and they would fall into the fire and die. And when the brahmanas called Takshaka's name, Takshaka did not come. So then, as is mentioned here, King Janmeja asked the brahmanas, "Why has Takshaka not come into the fire?" And then the brahmanas replied, "It is because he is being protected by Indra." Indra is holding him, and therefore he is not coming here. So then King Janmajaya said, then my dear Brahmanas, why not let Indra come along with Daksha? Let him also enter into the fire. So the Brahmanas said, so be it. And then they started chanting mantras to pull not just Takshaka, but Indra and all the demigods. And Indra was in his airplane in the higher planets, and when the mantras were chanted below, he fell off his airplane. Just see the subtle workings of the material energy. This is all material energy. It's nothing to do with spirituality, actually. Real spirituality. So even at the subtle material level, there was such power that even the heavenly king, Indra, fell off his airplane. And as he was coming down, that he had to... There are two opinions. One is, here it says that as he was falling down, Brihaspati entered into the scene, and then he pacified Maharaj Janmajaya, convinced him, preached to him, and then made him stop the sacrifice. In the Mahabharata, it is mentioned that when Indra realized that in protecting Takshaka, his own life was in danger, he gave up Takshaka. And then Takshaka was arrested by the representatives of King Janmajaya, and along with many other Naga chiefs, was brought before King Janmajaya. And also, it is explained that once Takshaka came there, there was a boy sage called Astika. And Astika had just previously come to, after Yajna had commenced, he had come in front of the king, Janmajaya, and had said, my dear king, I want a benediction from you. And at that time the other Brahmanas had said that please don't give benedictions now. Let Takshaka come into the fire. And then when the time comes for giving all the boons and all the gifts to the Brahmanas, you may do it. And when Takshaka was falling down, Astika, he came up. And he said, my dear king, now is the time for me to ask in charity from you. I am a Brahmana, my father is a Brahmana, but my mother was a snake bird. She was the sister of Vasuki. And she has sent me here to request you to stop. And at that time, he used his Brahmanical prowess and arrested Takshaka's fall from the higher planets and said, wait, Takshaka, wait there. Just like Vishwamitra Muni, he had the power to do all these things. And then he was a Brahmana, very learned, even though just a young boy. So then King Janmajaya agreed, all right, so be it. And then he stopped the fire sacrifice. And then there was peace between the Nagas and the Kurus. The sacrifice was stopped, and Takshaka was saved, because Brihaspati has mentioned here that he had actually partaken of the nectar of the demigods, and therefore he shouldn't have been, he didn't deserve to be killed in this way. So Janmajaya Maharaj, out of deference to the wishes of the Brahmanas and the sages, he accepted. He said, so be it. And the will of providence remained. The snake sacrifice was incomplete. But nevertheless, King Janmajaya didn't bear any grudges now. He amply and suitably rewarded all the sages and other Brahmanas who had come there. And everyone went away very satisfied. So King Janmajaya performed this Sarpa Yajna, the Sarpa Satra, for the purpose of avenging the death of his father, King Parikshit. Now it's interesting that the whole Mahabharata story is connected to this snake sacrifice. Because when this snake, as part of the snake sacrifice ceremony, the king had asked the sage Vaishampayan, who was a disciple of Vyasadeva, about his ancestors, because it was an illustrious lineage that he had come in of the Kurus. So Janamejaya wanted to hear about his ancestors. You know, this was fairly common in the Vedic culture. We would get people wanting to know about the illustrious kings and sages of the past, all the narrations of the Puranas. When the Pandavas, for example, were in the forest in exile, they would hear from all the sages the different Puranic narrations about the great kings of the past, the great sages and so on. And in particular, King Janamejaya wanted to hear about his forefathers, his ancestors. And so King Vaishampayan began the narration of the Mahabharata. So the Mahabharata contains information starting from King Bharat, who was one of the ancestors of the Pandavas and of King Janamejaya, right down to the Battle of Kurukshetra. So actually the whole country was called Bharata after King Bharat. There are several famous Bharats in history. One of course is the King Bharat, who was the son of Rishabhdev Maharaj, after whom the whole country and indeed the whole planet was called Bharatvarsha. Before that it was called Ilavrita Varsha. And then after the reign of King Bharat, it became Bharat. So Srila Prabhupada also explains on many occasions in his purports that the whole planet was called Bharatvarsha and there was one emperor who ruled this planet. And there were other Bharats also. There was the younger brother of Lord Ram, who was called Bharat. There was also Bharat, who was the son of Shakuntala and Dushyant, the famous story penned by Kalidas, the famous poem called Shakuntala. So there are many Bharats, but the whole planet is called Bharatvarsha after the son of King Rishabhdev. So King Vaishampayan narrated this whole history, and that is why it is called Mahabharata. So King Janamejaya was the first to hear the narration of the Mahabharata. The Mahabharata of course is composed by Vyasadeva, and he narrated it to his disciple Vaishampayan, who in turn narrated it to King Janamejaya. So that is how the entire Mahabharata is connected to the snake sacrifice that was performed by King Janamejaya in this world. This is a very historic thing. There's a lot that is there about the sacrifice and other things. So the Mahabharata deals with many things. The first few, in the early sections of the Mahabharata, there's a lot of information given about King Janamejaya, his activities, his qualities, his conquest of Takshashila, and also his performance of the snake sacrifice. And in this way, this glorious episode of the life of Maharaj Parikshit comes to an end. And we are practically at the end of the Srimad Bhagavatam. There are a couple of more chapters left, which are basically just further summaries. And King Parikshit's life and his passing away are inspirations for us. Even though King Parikshit was a king, nevertheless, despite all his busy administrative and royal duties, and despite living in an atmosphere of great opulence, he did not neglect his spiritual responsibilities and became a successful devotee. So such a glorious departure. In the Srimad Bhagavatam there are many such glorious departures mentioned. Can you think of some glorious departures like this? Bhishma. The most famous one that comes to mind of course is Bhishma Dev. Glorious departure. Who else? Dhruva Maharaj, right. Who else? Another Maharaj? Prithu Maharaj. Who? Rishabhadev also, yeah. Prithu Maharaj, and there are many, many others like this. And of course, we also know Haridas Thakur's disappearance, glorious disappearance. And our very own Srila Prabhupada's passing away from this world. His spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's passing away from this world. Exemplary departures. The departed thinking of Krishna. Till the last moment, Srila Prabhupada was doing his translation work, even though he barely had the energy to even speak. And you can see the famous photograph where the mic, the dictaphone is being held close to Srila Prabhupada's mouth, and he is, despite being practically a bag of bones at that final moment of his life, he was still dictating the purports of the Srimad Bhagavatam, fighting till the very end, a glorious departure. So we also have to prepare for our departure. A life gloriously lived will be a life gloriously ended. A life is gloriously lived when it is lived in surrender and dedication to Krishna and in devotion to Him. If our life is a life of surrender to Krishna, then our departure will also be a glorious departure. So this is a lesson that we can learn from the example of King Parikshit. Hare Krishna. So here in Melbourne you have a very wonderful opportunity to follow in the footsteps of Maharaj Parikshit. By Srila Prabhupada's grace, this wonderful temple has been established, and like have other temples in so many other places. It's a beautiful temple, such a nice community of devotees, wonderful devotees, and a wonderful temple president who has been a very stable Krishna conscious presence here. Aniruddha Prabhu, being ably assisted by Achyuta Rupa Mataji, has been such a stable, steady presence here in this temple, and that is really one of the main reasons for the success of this temple. And we see such a steady development, such a fixed approach, a vision that is very broad-minded. That is really the cause of success here. And many, many devotees be inspired and to come and join. So you're all very fortunate to be part of this wonderful temple. I hope and pray that the Krishna consciousness here can flourish more and more, and all the devotees here can take on more and more responsibilities to push ahead Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission in Melbourne. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions? Yes. Is that when Bhagavad Gita was spoken, Arjuna seemed to be in a confused condition. Similarly, when the Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken also, King Parikshit was confused about his duty in life, or just a duty of a person is about to leave. So why is it that the Lord puts his devotees in such a situation? Well, it's only apparently so. Because you see, if they weren't in an apparently confused condition, then there would have been no occasion for them to ask questions and no occasion for Krishna to speak to Arjuna or Shukadeva Goswami to speak to Maharaj Parikshit. So it's not actually that Arjuna asked for his own benefit, because he is an eternal associate of Lord Krishna, but this was an arrangement of the Lord for the benefit of all of us who would come in later generations in this world. So such arrangements are made by the Lord, including the speaking of the Srimad Bhagavatam by Shukadeva Goswami to Maharaj Parikshit. They're all done for our benefit. Otherwise, how do we have access to this knowledge? Okay. Is there any other question? Yes. Yeah, you can ask. The question is that of the 9 processes of devotional service, it is mentioned that one can make one's life perfect by accepting any one of these processes or more. In our sampradaya, the chanting is emphasized more. So why is that? Well, it is true that by following any of the 9 processes, one can become perfect, and there are examples given of great devotees who perfected their life by predominantly following one of these 9, like in Parikshit by hearing, for example. Now this is a truth that pertains in general to all the different ages. And while these 9 are definitely very efficacious, very helpful in this age of Kali, nevertheless the specific anga or limb of devotional service that is most effective and most recommended is chanting, because that is also what the scripture says. Yate yadhyayato vishnum pretayam yajito makhai dvapare paricharyayam kalau tad harikirtana. So in what was possible in Satya Yuga by meditation, in Treta Yuga by the performance of grand sacrifices, in Dwapara Yuga by opulent deity worship, is possible in this age of Kali simply by chanting the holy names of the Lord. So even though all the other processes are equally potent in general, but in Kali Yuga it is the process of chanting that is especially recommended because it is easy. The other processes are more difficult in this age because people are not so qualified. Archanam, for example, we cannot do it like people did in Dwapara Yuga. We can't perform sacrifices like we hear in the Srimad Bhagavatam or the Mahabharata or the Ramayana. We don't have those facilities to do that. Neither do we have the ingredients nor the qualified brahmanas to do all these things. So for us, because we are in Kali Yuga, and we are very unqualified, therefore the Lord has very kindly given us the simplest of the processes. Just chant Hare Krishna. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has advented to especially emphasize this process. But at the same time, we take assistance from all these other methods also to help our chanting. So we must hear, we must study, we must worship, we must do all these other things as well, because they support our chanting of the holy name. Okay? Yes, it is a fact that the other sampradayas don't stress so much on chanting. They don't deny it. They also do it somewhat. The Madhva sampradaya, for example, they emphasize a lot on deity worship. The Ramanuja Sampradaya, they are also very rich in devotional culture. Very wonderful devotees, a history of great devotees. They also chant and dance. If you read the story of the great Alvars, there are so many quotes where they speak about in one poem, one Alvar speaks about when will the day come when he will jump and dance in such a way that his feet will touch his back. He will jump high when chanting the names of the Lord. Yeah, so, they were, So there are references like this to chanting. But in the other sampradayas, there is not so much emphasis. Yes, that is true. So we are very fortunate to be a part of a sampradaya where the focus is very strongly on chanting. Yes, you had a question? The question is that, especially when one is young and one thinks of death as something that's far away in old age, how does one keep this consciousness to ensure that we have a glorious departure? We tend to forget. How does one keep that consciousness, right? That's the question. By repeatedly doing it, by repeatedly hearing, by repeatedly chanting, by repeatedly associating on a daily basis, or at least as much as we can. By practicing Krishna consciousness sincerely, steadily, regularly, with determination, we will maintain the state of consciousness necessary. So we will be always prepared. We will be always ready. Whenever Krishna calls, we are ready to go. Just like the fire department, the fire engines, they are supposed to be on call anytime. When there's an alarm bell, then they all jump into the fire engine and they go. So like that, the devotee is meant to be prepared anytime. So we have to be very strong in our practice of Krishna consciousness. That will keep us, that will ensure that we will also one day have a glorious departure. Right? Yes.
In one of the Bhagavatam class I heard, Janakriya prepared a glass house or something.
Who?
Glass house. Janakriya. To protect King Paiti. He made a big glass house so that no insect or anything. Is it true?
No. What is mentioned is that there was just a raised platform on which he sat at the end. But it doesn't say anything about a glass house or anything. Because in any case, Takshaka came up. And yes, you can see the pictures here. The nice pictures. Yeah. So on one side you see the picture of Takshaka coming up and biting the king. Yes? You see this? And then Parikshit's body bursting into flames. That's here. And you see Kashyap, the sage, who's holding on to the treasure that was given by Takshak and he's slinking away. And then what do you see in the next picture? The snake sacrifice of Maharaj Janmejaya. Yeah? So I haven't read anything about the glass cage. He was sitting on an open place. That's where Takshaka came and bit him. Any other questions? Yes. The question is that how do we reconcile the fact that Takshaka was immortal by drinking the nectar of the demigods? Actually, it is not immortal. The demigods are called Amara. Amara means immortal. Amara means to die. Amara means to not die. One who is eternal is called Amara. The demigods are sometimes referred to as Amara, not because they are actually eternal, but because from the point of view of earthly time spans, their lifespans are really very long. You see, 6 months on earth is like 12 hours for the demigods. So our one full 24 hours is 1 year for them. And they live thousands of their years. So you can imagine how long their lifetime is. So from the standpoint of an ordinary human being, it seems like eternity. So in that sense, it is said that they are amara. And when you drink that nectar, you become immortal. But not actually immortal. You become long-lived. You see, when Shukadev Goswami was about to begin speaking the Srimad Bhagavatam to Parikshit Maharaj, some of the demigods approached him. And they said, here is a pot of nectar, of heavenly nectar. Please take this and give us the nectar of Srimad Bhagavatam. And Shukadev Goswami said, nothing doing. It's an offense to even compare the nectar of Srimad Bhagavatam to the nectar of the demigods. Because the nectar of the demigods is material. It has nothing to do with spirituality. It is nectar that can only prolong your bodily existence for maybe a few million years. But it cannot give you eternity. It cannot give you true joy. It cannot give you devotion to Krishna, which is the ultimate goal of life. But the nectar of the Bhagavatam, that is real nectar. Nectar in Sanskrit is called amrita. That also means immortality. Amrita. Mrita means dead. Amrita means that which doesn't die. So nectar is not only taste, it is sweet to taste, but it's also something that should make you eternal. So when you partake of the nectar of the demigods, you may just get a long life in this body or in a heavenly body. But you're still in the material world. You're not free from the cycle of birth and death. You haven't become a pure devotee. But when you drink the nectar of the demigods, I beg your pardon, the nectar of the Srimad Bhagavatam, then you actually become eternal. Because when you leave this body, then you go away back to Goloka Vrindavan. Actually, after, there's some incident that is not mentioned here, but that is mentioned by Sanatan Goswami in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, that after Shukadev Goswami had walked away after speaking the Srimad Bhagavatam to Maharaj Parikshit, there was a time interval. And Parikshit's mother, Uttara, came running. She came to Parikshit and said, please give me this nectar what you received. I want it in condensed form because I don't have 7 days. Of course, Parikshit didn't have time now to give it, so he had to give it in a condensed form. So then he spoke certain verses, and in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Sanatana Goswami mentions that. He gives an essence of what was given. It's called the Bhakti Rasayana. Rasayana is a tonic, you see. He gives that to his mother. So even Parikshit Maharaj, after he's got this nectar, he distributes the nectar, he's still preaching, and he leaves his body preaching. Just like the great acharyas. Okay, so thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.